Hello and welcome to the Dive and Dig News Podcast, a series that is brought to you by the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that supports research into maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean. Our latest news piece takes us to the coast of Dorset in South England, where a 700-year-old shipwreck has recently been discovered. A team from Bournemouth University is currently documenting the site, and my colleague, Lauren Tidbury, was lucky enough to join them. Lauren, what an exciting find, 700 years old. Do tell us more.
Yeah, thanks, Lucy. It really is quite a remarkable site, and it's now, I believe, the oldest protected wreck in the UK. I was invited by Tom Cousins, the project director, and Dave Parham from Bournemouth University to dive the site. It was initially found by Trevor Small, a local dive boat skipper, so he'd recorded a pile of rocks on the seabed, but further investigation led the team to find ship timbers, through which they dated the site to the 13th century. And what was really amazing is some of the finds that they're uncovering. So I spoke to Tom between dives, and here he is to tell us a bit more about the site.
We were diving in 2019, and at the end of the day, Trevor here, we had some time, and Trevor went, oh, just check out this mark. And we went down, first thing we saw were all the mortars, and we saw a few timbers. And then we returned 2020, where we did an excavation, we exposed the grave slabs and the hull timbers. And that allowed us to dendrodate it to the 13th century, which is pretty cool.
And so the most noticeable thing that you see when you get down there is this sort of pile of rocks. Is that the ballast from the ship, do you think? Or
we're not, because it's a massive pile of rocks compared to the... So it could be ballast. But if you look at something like the wall house on Paul Keir on Southampton, the medieval buildings, they look like they're built out of random rocks anyway. So it could be building stone. So it could be there exporting the nice stuff, but alongside of it they're exporting just generic building stone, which will then go to some place where they haven't got decent building stone, like Norfolk has a lot of these slabs. There's quite a good significant part of the ship preserved under the mound, and then forward of that we've got the stem post, and we actually got a floor timber as well off site.
And so can you estimate how big this ship was from what's down there now, or is that pretty tricky with the limited...
I think it's probably about 20 metres long, just given on the where the stem post is and the size of the mound. So 20 is our minimum size.
Yeah.
Probably about 5. I think we got a 3-metre floor timber, which is only half it, so maybe about 5 metres beam.
Okay.
So we're looking at quite a medium ship, but probably one that could sail up rivers as well. So a coastal trader going up into, say, Salisbury, it could sail up the river.
Well, we're slowly trying to clean this mound so that you can do photogrammetry on the site.
So we want to mark, so we can mark where all the timbers are in the mound, do a photogrammetry of the whole of the site, and then we can actually start trying to reconstruct where the hull is. So we know we can see frames on one side and you can see them on the other, but getting that alignment, the only really way to get a big overview picture is with the photogrammetry.
Yeah, that mound is quite high, isn't it?
It's about a metre high.
Yeah, so it is. That's quite impressive. And I suppose that's how, because of that mound of stones, that's how the site was first recognised by Trevor, because he saw those. So it was a bit of a surprise to then find timbers.
Yeah, the mound of stones, it tracks all the fish, it tracks lots of weed, which obviously you guys have been clearing off for us.
And that's really quite unusual to have timbers from the 13th century surviving, you know, off this coastline is pretty unusual. And because of that, the site was recently designated as a protected wreck. One of, I don't know how many there are now in the UK.
54.
Okay. So that's, I mean, that's quite, it sort of really demonstrates how important this site is, doesn't it? That it's been designated. And that there's still, I guess, a lot to do to better understand it.
Yeah, it shows its significance for us, like, it's a significant site. It's one of only 54 sites in the country.
You know, it's quite shallow here. We're not that far from the coast. We're near quite a big shipping channel, which must churn up the seabed. But do you think that's why the ship has become more exposed in recent years?
Yeah, I think... from looking at, if we use like Swash as a case study, which is just across the channel, which is 17th century, when they first started dredging the channel, it started coming out the sand.
Mm.
And those timbers were immaculate, perfect condition. Within a few years, they were like matchsticks, the gribbles and the shipworm just found them and ate them. So we think the sands here outside of Poole are really good at protecting the shipwrecks until they drop.
Yeah.
So as soon as they drop, those timbers expose. We did a study, within 6 months you lost lots of the surface of the timber.
That's a lot, yeah. But I suppose on the plus side, these shifting sands have got the potential to show us more wrecks. So there could be more. I mean, there's already been quite a lot in quite a relatively small area. Like you say, you've got the Swash Channel wreck, Studland Bay wreck, this site now, all within sort of a few hundred metres of each other, I suppose. So there must be more.
Yeah, there's probably a lot more. We've got evidence of, so Roman amphora coming out of Studland Bay. Somebody recently had a Bronze Age axe wash up on the beach, so there could be a Bronze Age wreck out here. We've got the Iron Age logboat and the big Iron Age port inside the harbour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Poole's always been an international port, I suppose, hasn't it? It's always been a place for
it's
ships.
Been a big shipping port, and as ships come with wrecks, it's just the case of finding them. So you need people like Trevor out here all the time
finding them and
reporting them to us so we can have a look.
Yeah, that's it. And I suppose I wonder what happened. We don't know what happened to this ship, obviously, whether it was leaving the port or coming into the port. I think perhaps it hit the sandbank and that caused it
to
sink.
Well, we'd guess it's leaving the port because it's obviously got the local cargo that's produced and built here.
Oh, yeah.
So we're guessing it's leaving port. It would probably coming out the harbour mouth. It was a rough day, like a couple of days ago. It was really rough coming out the harbour. But when we were here, it was calm. So it could have come out the harbour, anchored up here, and mentioned the weight of the cargo just sunk.
Yeah.
Or it could have been something a bit more dramatic.
Yeah.
Storms. I think because we've got it in such good condition, we knew there was something there. Mound of stones don't swim. So it was most likely a wreck, but we weren't expecting 13th century.
No.
We weren't expecting all the mortars and the timbers and all the other
that's amazing
cool stuff that's down there.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good site, and thank you.
After I spoke to Tom, I got back in the water for my second dive that day. This time I was able to see one of three carved grave slabs that have been found on the site, and they were thought to be part of the cargo. They were engraved with Gothic markings, and Tom explained to me that these were made of a local product often called Purbeck marble. It's essentially limestone made up of fossilised snails that when polished looks like marble. The three slabs and the mortars on the site are made of this material, along with some other chunks which Tom said were possibly destined to be used in the construction of churches or cathedrals. After my dive, I then spoke to Dave Parham a bit more about the site and the logistics involved in planning underwater fieldwork. Here he is to tell us more.
Okay, so we've just spoken to Tom about the site, and he's now actually back underwater continuing the excavation of this shipwreck site. So I'm now here with Dave, who's going to tell us a little bit more. Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Dave Parham. I'm a Professor of Maritime Archaeology at Bournemouth University. And my role in this, I suppose, is to have organised all of the logistics, put it all together. So we set up the system for doing the work with the diving equipment and the dredging equipment and organising the boats and the logistics, the gravel for the sandbags. But the survey is done through using scuba divers, standard scuba with the addition of full face masks, because that enables them to have communications with us on the boat and communications with each other underwater. So we're running two different systems, not necessarily alongside each other. We're doing different waves of diving. So we'll have one set of surface applied diving at one moment and then a set of scuba diving afterwards.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, the technology has changed a lot over the years, hasn't it? Because now seeing all the equipment on this boat, the things that you need for the communication, for the scuba, for the surface supply, for the safety side of things, and then the dredge as well to actually excavate. It's a lot of equipment.
It's a lot of finance to buy the equipment, and it's a lot of money to keep it certified and in date, because everything has to have an annual service inspection to maintain it so that you can use it safely and legally. And that's probably our biggest logistical, I wouldn't say it's a constraint, challenge, is keeping all of that kind of equipment in date. Because if you want to run a surface supply system plus a scuba diving system using 6 to 9 people, you're talking to tens of thousands of pounds a year just to keep the equipment going.
So Tom's down there now with the dredge. He's clearing the site, and I've just seen on the comms. So not only do you have the audio comms, there's a video as well, so you can see what he's doing.
We've got a video on the service supply diver, yeah, so we can see what he's doing. We can talk to him about what he's doing. We can discuss problems or finds that they've found.
Yeah.
And it's an additional safety feature because you know what's going on down there as
that's
well.
Great. And I'm looking forward to, because it looks like he's just cleared the sand again from some of those Purbeck slabs. So when I go down later, I should be able to see them a bit more clearly.
They should be nice and pristine.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
It is quite sight. I mean, it's probably the most unusual, unexpected thing I've seen underwater in 40 years. That I never thought I'd be seeing Christian symbology on a wreck site just outside of Poole Harbour.
But that's really exciting to highlight the potential of this area. You know, we talked about Poole Harbour being quite a well-known port from at least the Iron Age. So in this particular bay where you've got the sandbanks and these other sort of hazards, there might be more sites, hopefully.
There's got to be. I mean, a sort of project we've undertaken over the last 10 years, which is diving on anomalies within the bay, has found 7 or 8 new wrecks, including this one. Most of those have been 19th, early 20th century. But as you say, because of the activity here, because of the known Iron Age activity, the known Roman activity and Anglo-Saxon activity, it's inconceivable that ships weren't lost here.
Yeah.
So they have to be here, at least a small percentage of them, in the same way that the 16th century wrecks here and 17th century wrecks and 18th century wrecks, and ones from the Second World War, they must have been lost and they will be here somewhere.
You've
just got to look and find them.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
And all right, Lauren.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back in the water.
Thanks, Lauren. That was really interesting. A 700-year-old shipwreck off the coast of Dorset. What could be better than that? And the cargo is really interesting, and the whole shipwreck so well preserved. I really look forward to hearing more about this wreck in the future. So thanks a lot for listening to the Dive and Dig News Podcast, brought to you by the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that supports maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean. I hope you'll tune in to our next news piece, and I'll look forward to talking to you then. Thanks a lot. Bye.